One small item by way of announcements before we get into our message this morning. Elders and deacons, we do have a short meeting following the service in the gymnasium. We need to move quickly down there. We have a membership class as well, and so we need to have that elder-deacon meeting quickly down in the gymnasium and so we can get back to our membership class. So guys, if you'd keep that in mind. Take your Bibles and turn with me. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Some of you are absolutely convinced that I'm following along with BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. I'm not. God works things out in amazing ways that we would be going through the same material of Scripture. Have you ever stopped and thought about how many photographs of you that are out there in the world about which you know nothing? Have you ever thought about that? A lot of places that we go, there are people that we don't know who are snapping photos. You're snapping photos, they're snapping photos, and you're getting people inadvertently in the background. And we wind up in some of those pictures. At a store, at a tourist attraction, while we're sightseeing, people snapping pictures as we're walking by. We're driving down the road and Division of Transportation is snapping photos of our vehicles. And so it's a ridiculous question, it might seem, but you have to wonder how many photos there are of us out there in the world that we know they're out there, but we just don't know what they are. And if you think about it, we're not far, at least in theory, from the technology of facial recognition that could tag us in all of those photos. Facebook is doing this. The oldest known photo is 1838. And there's a guy, it's a picture of kind of a city scenery. And there's a guy getting a shoe shine in the distance. He probably doesn't even know that he's in the photo. 1838. Lots changed since then. In 2012, Facebook said that an average of 250 million photos were uploaded per day. That was in 2012. In 2013, it was reported by another source that 350 million images were uploaded to Facebook per day. Every 2 minutes, humans take more photos than ever even existed in total by 1864. So every 2 minutes, we have more photos than existed in 1864. So put it this way, we're taking more pictures in 2 minutes today than we ever took in the first 30 years of photo taking. Does that make you think? Smile, you're on camera. Right? How many photos of you are there? And videos that you know nothing about. Google cars are winding their way through the streets, your street, probably through our parking lot, I don't know. Snapping photos. And yes, I understand that they are supposed to blur the faces of people in those photos, but there are a number of stories of cheaters being caught on Google cameras. Drunk people getting caught as they're throwing up, or passed out on the lawn, or drug deals taking place, or people taking a tumble on their bikes. Makes you think about how you live. Knowing that you're being watched makes us think about how we're living, but I have to tell you that as invasive as that might seem, every second of your life is being recorded in vivid color and vivid detail on God's cameras. Every second. The great white throne judgment will bring out our lives, the lives of unbelievers. We're going to talk about that. But I want us to read Revelation chapter 20, and you're there in your Bibles, hopefully, but I want to put it on the screen, and I want us all to read this together. Okay? So we're going to read this together audibly, and I want you to think about what you're reading. Let's read it together. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Our Father, our Creator, our Judge, we come before you this morning with hearts that are filled with scenes of this day coming. Father, I pray that this morning I would ask that you would do, as you have so often shown throughout history, the desire to do. I pray that through Christ you would save people this morning from this awful day. Father, I pray that you would drive out every single distraction. I pray, Father, that you would drive out anything that would cause us to put off the thoughts, even though we think we know this stuff. I pray, Father, that our eyes would turn to Christ in a new way. And I thank you for our great Savior who conquered death. So, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, would you vividly portray for us this day and cause us to flee to Christ? In his name we ask, amen. So Revelation 20, 11 through 15 has a grave message that refuses to be ignored. You can't ignore it, and if you do, it's to the peril of your soul. And so we see, first of all, that the day of reckoning will come. It will come. Listen, it will come. And if you die today without Christ, I want to let you know this is your last chance. If you die today without Christ, the next thing that you are truly aware of in a body will be the great white throne judgment. So this can happen that quickly. And so we have to be aware the day of reckoning will come. And the Apostle John, who recorded this portion of Scripture, he's on the island of Patmos, and God is giving him a vivid blow-by-blow vision of what the final sentencing of unsaved people will look like. And the vision is very sequential. As I looked at the passage and looked at the original language behind it, over and over, one word kept coming. It's the word "and," in the Greek, the word "kai," and it means, then this is coming, then this happens, and I saw this. And what John is trying to do is show you very upfront, step by step, the process by which God will examine and sentence everyone who rejects Jesus Christ. So what we've got here is the most detailed record of what the final judgment will be like. And because of that, I sit up and I take notice. Because this is a passage unlike any other passage, and you cannot afford to miss this message in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And as I mentioned earlier, it just makes me shake to see what's in the passage and, to be honest with you, to preach what's in the passage. I preach as a dying person to dying people. And so let's not miss what it says. A great white throne has been established from which God will judge every unsaved person. A great throne. A great means it's big, it's immense, It's huge. It's bigger than any other throne. Every other earthly power likes to think that they've got sovereignty. Well, guess what? The great white throne is greater than any throne. It's white, meaning that it is pure, it is just, it is holy, and God will not miss one thing on that day. It's been established, and he will judge every unsaved person. The great white throne judgment is for the unsaved. No saved person will be there. Saved people, according to the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. What you're reading here in Revelation 20 is for people who don't know Christ, people who've deceived themselves into thinking they know Christ, but Christ is not genuinely their Savior. And if that doesn't make you shake, I don't know what will. If that doesn't wake you up to eternity, I don't know what will. God is laying it out black and white. And so we have to be watching. At this judgment, there will be no extending of overt grace from God as we think of it. Every day you get God's grace because guess what? You breathe. On that day, you will not see the grace of God the way we see it today. You will see the wrath of God, the justice of God. And if you have a hard time understanding that and accepting that, just take a look at verse 15. What does it say? If your name's not found in the book of life, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. That is not grace, that is justice. Perfectly deserved, but justice. These are people who have rejected God's grace, who've turned their back on God's mercy. And if you are one of those who end up before God on this day, your window of opportunity to receive grace has closed. It's done. Some people wonder if it will be God the Father on the throne, Jesus Christ on the throne. It's really a moot point because all throughout Scripture we find Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son, sharing the same throne as judge. And so it will be the answer. Who's on the throne? God. Now, the Apostle John is not the only one who gives us this view. This is the most vivid view, and yet about 500 years earlier, Daniel says this. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. This is talking about angels. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. You know what Daniel's telling you? You know what the Apostle John is telling you? They're saying, we saw the same thing, and you need to see it too, and you need to deal with it. You've got to reckon with this. If you end up at the great white throne judgment, you will be standing before the God to whom mighty angels bow down, the one who made you, the one who created all the mysteries of the universe. Don't ask me where the great white throne judgment is going to take place because I don't know. I do know this, there will be no place to hide. Verse 11 says that earth and heaven will flee away from the presence of God. It's talking about the material universe. Vanishing away. Heaven and earth will flee from God's presence, and the only way you can flee from God's presence is for them just to pass away. And we're told in passage after passage that heaven and earth will be destroyed. The material universe will be destroyed, and this is the day on which that will happen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Michigan will be gone. Planet Earth will be gone. The material universe, the planets, they will be gone. You say, well, what will that be like? Well, Scripture tells us the heavens will pass away with a great noise. That's how it's going to happen. It's going to be loud. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. It's going to be destroyed. With the material universe gone, the trees, the caves, the dirt, the homes, the houses, the buildings, guess what? Everyone at the judgment seat or at the great white throne judgment will not be able, no one will be able to hide. And if you're at the great white throne judgment, there will be nothing that you can do, no escape. And I say that carefully, I say it truthfully, with all the compassion I can find. But if you die in Christ today, this is your future. If you die without Christ today, this is your future. You'll be raised up from the dead on the day of reckoning at the great white throne judgment. The unsaved dead will be raised to face this judgment. Look at what verse 12 says, and then the beginning of verse 13. The Apostle John sees dead people being raised up. These are the souls and bodies of unsaved dead people. Now listen, when an unsaved person dies, what happens? We say that they go to hell. Well, that's not entirely accurate. The truth of Scripture says that the souls of a dead unsaved person, the soul of a dead unsaved person goes to a place called Hades. Hades is a temporary place of torment. It's a place where the souls of unsaved people go and they await Revelation 20, where Hades will empty out the souls of these dead unsaved people and they will stand before the judgment seat or the great white throne judgment. So when an unsaved person dies, here's what happens. His body goes into the grave. Wherever that grave may be, it might be in the ground, it might be in the water, it might be scattered ashes, it might be blown to a million bits in some explosion. That's what happens to their body. But the soul goes to Hades. We see a picture of this in Luke 16:23 as the rich unsaved man dies and his soul goes to Hades and he's in torment. But souls in Hades are just seeing the beginning. Because Revelation 20, the contents, the souls in Hades are emptied out and their bodies are resurrected and joined together and they stand before God at the great white throne. Verse 13 talks about bodies coming up out of the ocean. You see that? It says the sea gave up the dead. What's it giving up? It's not giving up the souls. The souls are already in Hades. It's giving up bodies. The graves, the cemeteries are giving up bodies. People died at sea. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not into horror films. I just don't watch them. I just don't do that. I'm kind of a softie when it comes to that kind of thing. But I got to tell you something. This passage is far worse than any horror film that's ever been created. Everyone who dies without Christ will be there. There will be people at the great white throne who put off receiving Jesus Christ for themselves personally. They knew they needed to do it, but they just put it off because they didn't want to think about it. There will be people at the great white throne who could tell you the gospel. Matter of fact, I tend to think, based on some passages of Scripture, I kind of think that there will be people at the great white throne who, when God sentences them to the lake of fire, they will give the gospel back to God. And he will say, that's the truth. Why didn't you receive it? Too late. There will be people who lived in open, honest rebellion against God. They shook their fist to God and said, butt out of my life. Don't you dare tell me how to live. Don't dare tell me how to change. I don't want to change. There will be church members who said they were saved but really weren't. There will be pastors. There will be missionaries. There will be kings, there will be presidents, there will be slaves, there will be men, women, boys, girls who knew about Jesus Christ, but never made it personal. They thought that they were born into this family and they were baptized and they were this and they were that and they gave their money and they did this and they did that. And God says, no, depart from me. I never knew you. They say, we cast out demons in your names. And he said, depart from me. I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm sure that there will be all kinds of strategies in Revelation 20 on that day. It's my parents' fault. You don't understand how irrevocably my parents hurt me, and because of that, I'm winding up here, God. It's not fair. You don't want to say that at the great white throne because it's not going to fly. Some people are going to say it's my church's fault. That church was so lame. They never did anything to reach me. They never got it. They were just a bunch of hypocrites. They never did get what it would take to reach me. That won't fly at the great white throne. Don't pull that card. Some people will say, I just didn't know. And God will probably quote back Romans chapter 1. And he will say, you did know by the creation of the universe, as you looked out at the stars and the sun and the moon and you saw the seasons and you saw the trees and you saw the beauty of creation that speaks of your Creator and spoke to the voice of your conscience that told you that you are apart from your Creator. Some people will honestly maybe not say it, but would say, I just got tired of hearing the gospel. I just got tired of it. You talk about it all the time. Talk the gospel. Heard it upwards, downwards, backwards, inside out so many times that we could recite it in our sleep. And wouldn't be surprised if people on that day will stop and again quote the gospel back to God. Some people will probably say, I was getting around to receiving Christ, but I just never did it. Some people will say, I said a prayer, God. I said the prayer. Some people will say, I was confirmed. Doesn't that suffice? Doesn't that count? Doesn't a prayer count? Doesn't confirmation count? Some people will say, I lived a decent life. Why am I being sentenced? And God will say, to spend eternity in heaven is more than having a decent life. You have to have a what life? A perfect life. And I don't know any perfect people except for one. And that's Jesus Christ. Listen, the day of reckoning's coming. It's coming for you. And you need to deal with it now. And so what the passage tells us is undeniable evidence will be presented. I see that in verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says that books will be opened. Well, what are these books? You look at the passage and it's the book of people's deeds. There is a book with our deeds in it, tabulating. I read one commentator that he thinks that there's, and he might be right, I don't know, that he feels that there's a tabulating angel given to each one of us who tabulates the record, who all he's doing is just going around and keeping a video. And it's not just what gets caught on camera. It's what's going on in here. And what's going on in here, D.L. Moody said, you know what, if somebody ever created a heart recorder, what's going on in your heart and your mind, that guy would die a pauper because nobody wants to buy that. Because we don't want people to know that. These are the records of people's deeds, their lives, what they said, what they did, a very personal confrontation in these books. And everyone at the great white throne judgment will want to say that they don't deserve to be judged, but their records, the record of their deeds will say differently. And so every person, as I look at Revelation 20, they're judged on two things. You know what they are? Two things. Great white throne, the people there will be judged on two things. Number one, on their deeds. My deeds can't stand the judgment because I'm a wicked man. But then secondly, they will be judged because their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Two things. These books contain everything. Now, I have to be honest with you. I don't, at the Great White Throne, a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, at the Great White Throne, how utterly embarrassing it's going to be. You know what? I think it's way deeper than that. Yeah, there's going to be shame. I get that. I understand that. But you know what? There's going to be horror. Because it's not going to be, I'm so embarrassed of my deeds. Yes, it's shameful, but my deeds are sending me to the lake of fire. When God passes judgment, He is perfectly just and perfectly right in doing so. And these people chose to turn their backs on the Creator and His requirements and His loving provision of the Savior. Will God play it in a video recording? I don't know. How long will it take? I don't know. I have no idea. The text doesn't tell us. But I know this, it will be vivid and it will be true and it will be just. And we will stand there if we are at the Great White Throne, and we will be speechless when that record is played. Hebrews 4:13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to His eyes, to whom we must give account." No one will be able to refute the record against them, the people at the Great White Throne. All of us know, we all know that deep down we have turned our backs on God. We want to be autonomous. We want to live our lives. We want to eat what we eat. We want to drink what we drink. We want to have sex with whom we want to have sex. We want to have sin wherever we want to have it. We want to have this kind of control over our finances, this kind of control over this. We want to be autonomous of God. God, don't get in my way. No one will be able to refute the record against them, not one. That was the experience of Cheyenne Caldwell. He was a firefighter with the Los Angeles Fire Department. Probably still is. Back in 2007, things in his life were going well. He had just been promoted in his workplace as a firefighter. He was almost like a superhuman. If you see a picture of him and he talks in a video about his testimony, I mean, this guy is just like a strong, tough, handsome guy. He felt like he was Superman on top of his game. But on July 24, 2007, his life changed forever. There was a call to a fire, and he arrived at the fire, and they extended the ladder onto the rooftop. And what Cheyenne's job was to do was to get up on the roof and to take his chainsaw and cut a hole in the roof and vent it so the other firefighters could go in below. He climbed up on the ladder. As he was working, the fire had so eroded and eaten away the roof that he actually fell through. And he slammed onto the ground. He couldn't move. His fellow firefighters are working feverishly to get in there. It was on the news, to get in there and to help him. But everything looked hopeless. And he woke up and he was on the ground and he couldn't move. And he said, "If you want to know what hell on earth is like, that was it." And as he's lying there on his stomach, his body started to burn. The first layer of skin, the second layer of skin, the third layer. Finally, his tendons actually started to burn, and he could feel this going on. You know what happened in his mind? The tape started playing of his life. He starts thinking about his life. He goes all the way back to when he was younger, and he's thinking about in high school, and he was an athlete, and I mean, this guy was a stud. Playing football, he's got all these pictures of him and all of his accomplishments, and there he is, and he's playing through, but he's also playing through the way that he lived. He was he loved the party life, lived for whatever fun he could find, chasing after women. He would wake up in the morning, he wouldn't even hardly know the name of the gal next to him. His dad had tried to talk to him about Christ, but he had just blown his dad off, and he figured he really didn't need it. He had full control of his life. He knew what he was doing. He lay there dying. He could not refute the charges against him of how he had lived. And that is just a tiny picture of what will happen at the great white throne judgment. God will say, look, you wanted to live without me. I gave you. I made you. I made you for a certain purpose. And because of sin in this world and because of your sin nature, you turned away from me. And I made offer after offer after offer. And you never responded. And if you did respond, it really was not a heartfelt thing. God, I give you my life. It was just a prayer to get out of hell. The book of life will stand witness to their purposeful rejection of Christ. So these books are open, the book of people's deeds, but there's also another book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in short, what is the book of life? It's very simple. It's a list of everyone whose sins have been covered by the blood of Christ. A list of every believer in Christ from all time. A registry of the names of people who are citizens of heaven. The book of life is mentioned a number of times in the New Testament, and to have your name written in the book of life is the most important thing about you. The most important thing. You can say, I could ask you, what's the most important thing in your life? And you might say, that I'm a father of these kids, that I'm a husband of this person, or a wife, or a mother, or this kind of worker, or an elder, or a deacon, or a teacher, or a whatever it is that's the most important to you. Guess what Jesus Christ said? No, no, no. Rejoice most of all that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the most important thing about you. Whether your name is or isn't in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't buy having your name in that book. Jesus Christ already paid the price. But you have to seek it through faith in Christ alone. You've got to surrender the control of your life to Him. When a person is genuinely saved, it's not that I'm going to hell and I want to get out of it. That's a huge part of it, I understand, and that is. But there's more to it where you say, yes, I want to live in eternity with God. But you know what? I want Him in my life now to change me now. Now, the fact that the Book of Life is present at the Great White Throne Judgment is not evidence that believers will be there. It's not like God or the angels are going to look at the Book of Life and say, is His name there or is it not? This one's here, this one's not. No. The Book of Life at the Great White Throne is just a piece of evidence. Unbelievers are here. The Book of Deeds is on this hand saying, look at your life. And on the other hand, your name's not in here. What do we do with you? What does that say about you? It says that you want to live apart from God. It says that you don't want Him. It says that you heard it and you saw it and you did not respond to it. Book of Life is just one more piece of evidence that those being sentenced have rejected Christ. Proof. And because of that, an irreversible sentence will be pronounced. Oh, I know we kind of go, when does this get over? If you find yourself on that day, Great White Throne, it won't ever be over. Never. Final judgment of all time. And you'll notice that right after this, in the book of Revelation, eternity begins. We go into heaven. And so verses 14 and 15 of Revelation 20 are the last judgment. Death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. The contents of Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. Death itself, this is the second death. This is the last death. Anyone whose name is not found written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. That will be everyone. No escape. And so, dear friend, it is imperative, and I'm not standing before you to preach a hellfire and brimstone message just because that's the thing to do. I'm preaching this because that's what God's word says, and I don't want you to go there. Don't think that if you take care of how you look on the outside, you've taken care of who you are on the inside. guilty, sinful. We long for autonomy from God. If left to ourselves, we want nothing to do with God. That's my testimony. And I know if you're being honest, it's yours. If left to myself, I want nothing to do with God. God's too invasive. God says, if I come into your life through Jesus Christ, you're going to change. It's not going to be the same. You're going to be made a new creation. Old things are going to pass away. And guess what? If you're an unsaved person, you just might like the old things. And you might not want them to pass away. You might not want to be made a new creation. Cheyenne Caldwell found himself that day in 2007 lying on the ground in that burning building, literally being burned alive, replaying through the days of his life. But then his mind went back a little over 10 years prior to that in 1995 to another day. On that day, he was invited to a Bible study. And on that day, he recognized, as the teacher talked to them about receiving Christ into their lives, he recognized, Cheyenne recognized, that he had a debt of sin. He recognized that that book of deeds had a lot of stuff against him. And he recognized that the wages of sin is death, the second death. And he wanted to change, and he recognized that Christ paid the penalty. And he didn't just want to get out of hell, he wanted to change. He wanted the Holy Spirit to come in and to live and make him a new man, to make him a new creation, to give him new desires so that he wouldn't long to wake up next to someone he didn't know. To make him long for something other than the next drink, or the next party, or the next thrill on the field of athletes, or the next dollar to be made. And he received Christ into his life, and he gave his life to Christ that day by faith. 1995. Fast forward everything 10 years, and he's lying on the floor of that building burning. And he had peace. Great white throne judgment, not in his future. And he said, you know, God, I'm ready. Come and take me. I'm ready through Christ. Eventually, he was rescued from that building, and he woke up 8 days later in a burn unit, and he began this long journey. And he learned a lot from that, and here's what he says. We all walk on a razor's edge, a thin line between life and death. We're all going to die one day. The question remains, are you ready for that day? Jesus Christ is risen. He's alive. He wants to give you new life. Do you believe? Revelation 20, in my estimation, is the most important passage you could ever respond to. So what do we do with this? Well, as I looked through, I see a number of things. Number one, since the great white throne judgment is coming, we tremble. We tremble. I am as trembling over this message as any other message I've ever preached. I'm not just afraid that I'm going to get it wrong. I'm afraid that you're not going to get it right. I'm afraid that you're going to come here and you're just going to say, this is just more words. And I'm afraid that something about the way I'm preaching it is going to get in the way of what God's trying to do in your life. I fear. He's the living God. He's the consuming fire. And what I'm afraid is you're just going to take and you're just going to close shop and you're going to close your Bibles and you're going to shut down and you're going to walk out and you're just going to go, good, yep, that boy, that was all truth. Man, he really hit it hard today. Tremble. I am so thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I do know this, I fear for those who don't know Christ and think they do. So we need to tremble. But here's something else we need to do. Since the great white throne judgment is coming, we need to examine. We've said it a number of times, many times, more than I can count. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. To what do you point to as your confidence that you're right with God? Do you point to visible morality, a clean life? That's not enough. Do you point to the fact that you know the gospel and you might even talk the gospel? That's not enough. You might say, well, I actively serve. You might at times feel conviction of sin. You might even know that you walked an aisle or said that prayer. That's not enough. Have you repented of sin? Have you purposely and sincerely turned to Jesus Christ and asked Him to save you through His death and resurrection? Have you opened your heart to His authority in your life? So we need to tremble, we need to examine, but since the great white throne is coming, we need to proclaim. This is the most important message the world needs to hear. We've got to proclaim this. We've got to let them know, whether they like it or not, whether they're receptive or not. They've got to know the day of reckoning is coming. Since the great white throne is coming, we should rejoice. You say, how can you rejoice in that? Rejoice because there's a Savior. We rejoice that even though we are so filled with a sense of our unworthiness, we can be overjoyed that we stand in Christ's worthiness. That when He died on the cross, He died for us. He bore our sins. And if you think of whatever makes you the most happy, whatever lifts your spirits, whatever makes you glad, whatever it is that makes you sing, let it be that your name is found written in the book of life. Would you bow your heads and do some very real business with God? Forget about lunch. Forget about life group. Forget about who's sitting next to you. Forget about everything but this. Repent of your sin. Turn to Him. I just long for you to get it. See, I've already done this. Then listen, just reaffirm it. Just thank Him. Just rejoice. But let this moment be that moment where it becomes real. Let this be it. You can do that by simply calling out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Recognize that the book of your deeds, if it's held against you, you will be cast into the lake of fire. And recognize that Christ is your righteousness and that He's the one who paid for it. And you know what? Recognize, examine your heart. Is it really that you're just trying to get out of hell? Or is it because you want to get out of hell, go to heaven, but you also want to change because you're tired of living in sin. You're tired of being dominated by sin. And turn your life over to Christ by faith and ask Him to come in. Father, I pray that everyone here would look to Jesus Christ to be their righteousness. Father, I pray that even right now that You would drive out distractions. Father, drive out even physical exhaustion or physical tiredness. I thank You for the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ who opened the way for our atonement. Father, You call on everyone here to personally believe in Jesus. Help them not to rely on their works. Help them not to love their sin so much that they want to keep going without Christ or fake it. Father, I pray that each person here would be justified by faith and would have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. deliver us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of your Son. For it's in his strong name that we ask it. Amen.
Let's stand together.